This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
There was a man who went to a doctor one day, and the doctor asked him, he said, can I help you? What seems to be your problem? Well, he said, you know, doctor, I'm so depressed. I don't know what to do. I'm despondent, and I just can't seem to get out of this. And I wanted to see if you could tell me what I needed to do. Well, he said, you know, there is a circus in town right now, and I have heard that they have a clown in that circus that can make you laugh. And he said, they say he can make even the most depressed person laugh. I suggest you go and see this clown. He said, doctor, you don't understand. I am that clown. There are a lot of people in our world today that are unhappy. But is it possible to have happy days again? I want us to think about that. That's what I've entitled our lesson today, Happy Days. Now, that goes back to a television program some of you watched when you were young. But I believe we can have happy days in this 21st century. And we just do it the way God says to do it. Things may not be like we want them in our lives, but we can still live lives of happiness and have fulfillment in life. Please stay tuned as we discuss that today. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We're so happy that you're watching today or you're listening by way of radio. And we want you to stay tuned as we tell you about a free Bible correspondence course that we have. And we'd like to pause long enough that you can learn a little bit more about the course and how you can take it yourself.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to read now from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting in the 10th verse, and I'll be reading down through verse number 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. There's one thing that people all over the world have in common. Now, there are lots of things, but I know this one thing we have in common. All people want to be happy. I have yet to meet a person who would say to me, Brother Lambert, I would like to be the most miserable person you've ever met. Now, I've met some people that seem to be miserable, but I don't think they wanted to stay that way. People want to be happy. People want to find peace and happiness, and they want to be able to live a life filled with joy. But how in the world do you go about doing that? Our world is not geared to a person living a happy life. Now, it doesn't come accidentally. To be happy, you have to really work at being happy. And Abraham Lincoln said that we're about as happy as we want to be. Well, I think there are a lot of people that want to be happy, but they're not necessarily doing the things that will bring that to them. So to have happy days in our lives, days of joy, days of fulfillment, days where we are not worried and frustrated, there are certain things that we must do. Now, I want you to notice how the text began that I just read to you from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and then in verse number 10, he said, "He who would love life and see good days." If we're going to love life, and if we're going to see good days, there are certain things we must do. First of all, Peter tells us we must take control of our speech. Refrain, he says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So an individual must take care of the words that we speak. You see, much harm is done by careless and uncontrolled speech. In the 3rd chapter of James, James said it's like an unruly evil. The tongue can be like an unruly evil. It can be like a deadly fire. And the tongue can be deadly. The tongue can be used for good or bad. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, there the writer says that there's the power of life and death in the tongue, and indeed it is. And so if we're going to have happy days in our lives, we need to learn to control our speech. That means we need to refrain from certain things. We need to refrain, first of all, from falsehoods, telling things that are not true. The Bible says we're to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And that means our speech as well. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, says, "Lie not one to another." We should never be a person who is known as telling things that are not true. And some people's imagination gets away from them sometimes, and they tell things that are not true. They tell lies. So if we're going to have a happy life, happy days, we've got to refrain from falsehoods. There's a terrible end for those who live a life of falsehoods and deceit. In Revelation 21 and 8, we're told that those who are liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And certainly we don't want that. So refrain your tongue from falsehoods. Refrain from vulgarity. Some people would not lie, but they are very vulgar in their speech. Speech is important. The Lord in Matthew, the 12th chapter, said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned." God's name is a hallowed name. And we are taught in the Old Testament, and I believe by principle in the New Testament, that we are not to use God's name loosely or vainly. One of the Ten Commandments was, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." But you think about how loosely and vainly the name of God is used even today. If we're going to have a happy life, take control of your speech and do refrain from vulgarity. And yet the name of God is used so loosely today. It's very difficult to even watch the evening news without either someone that's being interviewed or something that's being reported having the name of God used in a very vulgar, loose, and vain way. And so if we want to have happy days, we've got to take control of our speech. And that simply means that we'll cease finding fault with other people. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. For whatever judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And then Jesus said, why are you finding fault with the brother that has a little speck of dust in his eye? Now, that's not the way the text reads. I'm giving you Lambert's translation. Lambert's translation goes like this. Why are you worried about the little speck of sawdust that's in your brother's eye when you've got a stick of stove wood or a tube of four sticking out of your own eye? He said, you first get the mote out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, don't find fault with people. Sweep around your own door first. Don't be a fault finder. Some people think, evidently, that there is some kind of reward being offered for finding fault with people, because some people spend a great part of their lives just finding fault with people. They can never see the good in people. We need to try to look for good in people. And I have a practice that I've used for many, many years to believe the best about people until they prove to me that the confidence and the trust that I've had in them is not warranted. And I found that it keeps me from trying to find so much fault in people. And then another way that we can, what we need to refrain from is gossip or ugly reports about people. Moses told the children of Israel, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. Some people spend their time carrying tales about other people. Have you heard? Did you know? Have you heard the latest? You know, and then they tell something they think they heard. And often the very thing they say may not be true. A woman was telling me something one day. I first started preaching, just a young boy as a preacher. And this lady said to me something about another person. And I didn't say a word. She says, I'm not really gossiping. What I'm telling you is just true. And I said to her, before I could even think about it, I says, well, if it were not true, in addition to gossiping, you'd be lying. And so we need to refrain our tongues, keep our tongues from talking about other people. Peter says we need to have lips that speak no guile. And that's deceit or a pretense. We're not to have hypocrisy in our lives. We're to love people genuinely with a true heart. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And our love is to be without hypocrisy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And so we're to turn away from things that are evil and speak only good things. Sometimes we say things trying to deceive others. I know you've heard this little phrase that comes out of a poem. What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. And until you tell something that's not true, you tell something to deceive, and then after you tell that, you've got to tell something else, try to cover up what you just said. You see, the best thing to do, in order that we might love life and see good days, to have happy days, joyful days, is to take control of your speech. Now, the second thing is mentioned is that you need to order your conduct. Order your conduct. He said you need to turn away from that which is evil. You see, happiness and disorderly conduct do not go together. If you're living a disorderly life, if you're the kind of an individual who stirs up things, you're the kind of an individual that's always in the midst of some kind of strife, then you're not going to be very happy. That really is an indicative. That is, you've just marked yourself like that. That's indicative that deep down inside you're not happy with yourself. That's when you stir up trouble. That's when you stir up strife. That's when you start finding fault with other people, because inside you feel so insecure and you're not willing to turn away and look at your own self. Turn away from picking on other people and look at your own self, to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. So we need to turn away from the evil in our lives. In the first Psalm, David is talking about a good, godly person. He said, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." You see, we can order our conduct by staying away from bad people, staying away from people that would influence us in the wrong direction, and we can walk with good people, walk with people that will encourage us. One thing I've noted over the years, some people, when they have a problem in their life, will go for advice from an individual who has had that same problem in their life and never resolved it accurately or completely. Why would you do that? Why would you, for example, suppose you're having a problem with your marriage, why would you go to a person whose marriage has been dissolved to get advice on how to keep your marriage together? They don't know how to keep a marriage together, so why would you take advice from them? Why not find among the people that you know some couple that's been married 30, 40, 50 years or more, and go to them and find out what they did to keep their marriage together? No. We have a tendency to sit down with those and to listen to those and take counsel from the wrong kind of people. We need to turn away from that. There's no lasting happiness unless we turn away from the evil conduct in our own life and listening to the advice of ungodly people. So you need to order your conduct. Do good in your life. Be a do-gooder. Before I went off to college, I was working at a paper mill. And in the part of the factory where I was working, they made 50-pound bags. And those bags would be used to put various things in, such as fertilizer and seeds and the like. And I soon learned that the men who worked there did not use exactly Sunday school language. But I would take my New Testament, and while they were in the break room smoking their cigarettes, I would get over there on sit down on a stack of bags, and I would read out of my New Testament. I soon got a nickname. You know what it was? Old Do-Gooder. I was the Do-Gooder boy. Well, you know why they called me that? It's because my reading the Bible, which was in direct conflict with the way they talked and the way they acted and their practices, made them feel uncomfortable. When we do good, we're going to make other people feel uncomfortable. And we may be accused of being a do-gooder. I think when I stand before God on the day of judgment, I think I'd rather be there as a do-gooder, hadn't you, as to be a person who lived a life of evil. Jesus, we're told in Acts 10:38, went about doing what? Doing good. Jesus was a do-gooder. And if you're following Jesus, you're going to be the same. You're going to go about doing good things. The Bible teaches in Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. The household of faith is the church. So in a very special way, we're to do good to those that are fellow Christians. But Christians are to do good to all people, regardless of who they are or where they are. We don't pick and choose who we do good to. And so, if we want a happy life, we take control of our speech, we order our conduct. But then in the third place, to have a happy days in your life, to have a happy life, a joyful life, you need to promote peaceful relationships. Notice what he says in the text. turn away from evil, do good, let him seek peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Paul in the Roman letter, the 14th chapter, sir, in verse 19, that we're to follow after things that make for peace. Follow after things that make for peace. Well, what are some of the things that you can think of that would make for peace? Can you think of anything? Well, what about what Jesus taught in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse number 12? Don't you think that would make for peace? There Jesus said, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them. Plainly put, treat others like you'd want to be treated. Now, wouldn't that make for peace? We need to promote peace in our homes. We need to promote peace in the church, peace in the community. We need to promote peace in our world. We need peace in our world so desperately today. We need to seek peace. Another thing that will make for peace is be mature. Don't act like a little child. Paul in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in talking about love, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But he said, when I became mature, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some people never grow up. Some people act so childishly. They never matured. And so if you want to live a happy life, to be able to promote peace, we need to be mature and act our age. Some people are grown, but they still act like little children. There's another principle found in the Bible, and that is in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, in verse 32. There the Bible says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches. And so God is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion in our world, God didn't cause that confusion. Who caused that confusion? You said, well, man did. Well, if man caused that confusion, why did man cause that confusion? And it's because he has allowed the great divider, Satan himself, to get into his heart and cause that confusion. You see, if we're going to promote peaceful relationships with people, we've got to be promoters of peace and not confusion. I think Abraham was a man who knew how to get along with people. Dale Carnegie would say he knew how to win friends and influence people. I believe he did. And I have reason to believe that Abraham never took a Dale Carnegie course. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, there was a time that Abraham and his nephew Lot were side by side. Now, this is the way I pictured in my mind. Here's Abraham and his flocks, his herds, his family. Here's Lot, his flocks, his herds. There was a strife that arose between the herdsmen of Abraham, the herdsmen of Lot. Now, what caused the strife, I do not know. But I know that Abraham was a master at solving confusion. And this is what he said to Lot. Let there be no strife between me and you, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. And here was the reason. We are brethren. We're brothers. We're kin. Let there be no strife between us. And we are fellow travelers upon this old globe called earth. And we may not be brothers and sisters in the Lord with all people. Satan has a family and he has children as well. John 8:44, they said, you're your children, the devil. But there is a sense in which we do share a common bond with all people, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we are fellow travelers on this earth. And as fellow travelers on this planet, we ought to be able to get along with people. We ought to have peace in this world. And that which brings disruption and discord, disharmony, and a lack of peace is sin. Sin is a great disruptor. I never, ever want to be known as a disruptor of peace. One of the things we're taught in the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter and verse 19, that is an abomination in the sight of God, that God hates, are those that sow discord among brethren. Let's be the opposite. Let's be promoters of peace among all Christians. Promote peaceful relationships in the church. Promote them in the home. Sometimes there are people in the home don't get along. Husband's not getting along with a wife. Wife may not get along with a husband. Children don't get along with the parents. There's just murmuring and bickering constantly in the home. I might be describing your home. I've not been reading your mail, but I know what goes on in some families today. And I know that people that don't have harmony at home, to have peace and harmony in our families, we've got to be willing to lay down our thoughts. We've got to be willing to put it in the vernacular. We've got to suck it up and realize that we have feet made out of clay. And I could be part of the problem, because most problems have two sides. You see, in the case of the problem between the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot, it wasn't one-sided. Their herdmen were going at it with one another. And so they said, let's just not have any strife. And so they separated. And Abraham gave Lot the first choice of the land where he should go. And Abraham took what was left over. That's the way to have happy days. To really have a happy day, and to be able to sing that old song, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice," is to give your life to Jesus. That's going to be the happiest day of your life when you, as a penitent, confessing believer, allow some servant of God to take you down into the water and leave your sins, as it were, in that water, and come up out of that water clean and pure of sin, having come by faith in contact with the precious blood of Jesus that washes your sins away. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. That'd be the happiest day of your life. I want you to be happy. I want to urge you to give your life to Jesus. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Your Bible today. And in order that you might know where the Church of Christ is located in your community, give us a call. We'll tell you. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.